go too far, too far, so. The other prayer request is really dealing with my wife, Charlotte. She's not here with me today. She's been having a lot of back pain, and it hasn't really gotten any better. So if you wouldn't mind, keep Charlotte McQuinn in your prayers for her back. We would appreciate that. For those that like titles, the title of my sermon today is To Obey. Is that relevant for today? Just to repeat that, to obey, is that relevant for today? I thought a little bit more about this topic on the drive up here today, since the traffic was cooperating considerably, which was nice to see for once on the interstate. But as I was growing up, I was introduced to people that really did not take the word obey very seriously. They sort of did what they really thought was best for them. Even in childhood, school, work, in all these areas, school, college, you run across people who have their own thoughts, their own mentality of what should be done. And if they see something that they want, well, if it doesn't belong to them, you know, it may disappear. Saw that a lot in work when I was working in the phosphate industry. Had a lot of situations where things went missing. And in today's world, you see it all around us. There's not a whole lot of obeying going on in the laws of this country. Matter of fact, they're changing most of the laws to make it fit whoever's in power or whoever has an idea to change a law to try to make it how they want to see it. In a lot of cases, it goes against God. And this country is going to have a rude awakening in the future, and we know that. Well, Webster's Dictionary defines the word obey as to comply with the wishes, the instructions, or commands of, to comply with or follow, such as obey orders. For anyone that may have been in the military, you learn fairly quickly you were to obey orders. And you learn quickly what would happen if you did not obey those orders. It also says to submit or to conform, or conform to obeying the law. Hebrew, the word for obey, in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, number 8085, the word is shama, S-H-A-M-A, pronounced shama, is to hear intelligently with attention, to consider and consent with contentment, to diligently, diligently discern and give an obedient ear. Throughout the Bible, God has had recorded for our examples many individuals, many families, even nations, whole nations, at some point in their life, in their existence, have either never known God, or they've either obeyed or disobeyed God's instructions. And God's word is just full of this information for us. Starting from Adam and Eve to those that will be cast into the lake of fire at the very end. You will see that of non-obedience still existing. But there's only one individual, and we all know who that individual is, that has obeyed God in all things without sinning. And that is our living example to follow each and every day of our life, and that's Jesus Christ. Christ continues to obey his Father, and he will always obey God. As we look around us today, we see examples of compliance to man's laws being destroyed or being adjusted, or just total non-compliance with such things as riots, looting, disobeying just ordinary common law, common sense law. There are some states that if you're speeding and you outrun an officer, they will not pursue that. They will let you go. There are some states that will not intervene if things get broken into and it's carted off by, you know, a mass amount of people, which is very tragic in this world. But most tragically is God's laws are ignored. They're being disobeyed and they're totally rejected in today's world. Some parts of the world consider not to recognize God or do their own thing, however they want to believe. Or they pass laws that deem the Bible as hate speech to be banned. And we know it's just going to continue to get worse because of the beast power and the false prophet prophecies and how Satan will go against God's people. He wants to destroy mankind, just not God's people, but mankind, because he doesn't want God to have a family. He wants to see the total destruction. But a daily importance for us, each and every one of us, is to obey God and stay close to him in spirit and in faith. To be following Christ's example, to be like him, walk as Christ walked. If you would, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll start off. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. King Solomon stated, "Thou that dwellest in the garden, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe." Oops, excuse me. I'm in Solomon, Song of Solomon. Testing. We'll do a retake here. So that's the problem when they build you up to get up here and speak.
It's not over, right?
No, it's not over. I would like to say I was just testing the group, but no. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment. All that we see around us, every work, is going to be brought into judgment with every secret thing, because there is no secret thing with God. God knows everything. So with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And these are things that we ourselves have to think about. What we do, what we think, how we handle ourselves, how we present ourselves to others. In Matthew 12, verse 36, Matthew 12, verse 36. Here we see Christ speaking, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." So again, which makes us think, do we have idle words proceeding from us on a daily basis? We're going to keep pushing that daily. Every day is very important, because that's the time that we have. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We only have today that God has granted us, another day to get it right, to work on it, of what's before us. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse starting in verse 17, and go through verse 19. Again, Christ speaking here. says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to destroy, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one dot of the I or cross of a T shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So we have our marching orders. We are to be following Christ's example. We are to be studying God's word. We are to be obeying God in what he instructs us in. Because obedience is not an optional quality. It's not that we can choose it to be optional in our life. It has to be mandatory that we're called to this life. To obey is life. To obey is a life choice, or is a choice of death. God gives us those choices. God gives us the choice to choose life or to choose death. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. And again, we make choices every day of our life. We make decisions, which those choices are a fulfillment of decisions that we make. So are we making the right choice? Are we making the right decision? Are we including God in this process? Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 19. It says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live." This is not something I was just spoken of back then. This is something that applies to us this very day. God has given us that choice each and every day to choose life. Or if we don't choose to follow God, then we will have the opposite, not blessings, but cursings. Verse 20, "That you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice," his words, all encompassed in this Holy Scriptures, "and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days," not only in this life, but in that life to come, the eternal life. God will always be there. "That you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Well, God has also told us through his plan of salvation of what he has in store for us if we stay that course. We follow God and his word and obey his commandments to the end. Not only just land, but the entire universe God will present to his children. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, I'll just touch on a few verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, skipping around a few verses. Let's start in verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 11. It says, "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God, to obey his instructions, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always." Not just this week, not just this month, not just this year, but always, each and every day. In verse 7, "But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did." Israel saw the acts that the Lord did for them, bringing them out of Egypt, through the wilderness, up to the point of entering the promised land. What in our life have we seen where the Lord has worked in our life? The various miracles, the various healings, the very calling that he has given us. That is a miracle. That he is working with us. God's Sabbath day. The prayers that we give to others and for others. It's very important. Not just to them, but it's offerings to God. It's also a blessing to us to be able to do that. In verse 18, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be frontlets between your eyes. Again, these words apply to us today. Are we laying up God's word? Are we studying? Are we in God's word daily? Are we on our knees? Are we praying to God daily? Asking for the forgiveness that we need for our iniquities, our sins. We have the holy days coming up. Are we preparing? Will we be prepared for the holy days that is before us? Verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day to go after, or you turn out of the way, which I have commanded you this day to go after other gods, which you have not known. Satan and his distractions all around this world, whether it's your smartphone, which sometimes I tend to think is not really a smartphone because it sort of makes me dumb myself down because I'm stuck to it too much. And all these algorithms that it works with, if you pause on something, then all of a sudden you're just inundated. Things that are going on in the world, are we letting that cause us to turn aside from what God really wants us to do and to stay close to him? We have to be very careful. We have to be very watchful. There are two words in Deuteronomy 11 verse 1 that are foundational to obedience. Let me read verse 1 again. Therefore you shall love. That's one of the words that's foundational to obedience. Shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, his commandments. So the second word is keep, love and keep. Because true obedience must be based on love. In John chapter 14, verse 15, John 14, verse 15, Christ speaking, if you love me, keep my commandments. Both of those words there, which are foundational, if you love me, keep my commandments. In 1 John chapter 5, and verse 3, we have to rehearse this each and every day of our life, because there's just so much going on. I mean, Nefty's going to need our prayers, as was mentioned during the announcements. You know, to lose a mother is, you know, a very hard thing. As was said, you know, no matter what age. But it's with time, you know, God heals that pain pretty much. But there will still be those memories. I mean, my mother passed away in 2008, 14 years ago, over 14 years ago. And there are times as I'm getting older and knowing that she'll be brought up in the last great day, resurrected, that I'll be able to talk to her and apologize, especially some of the ways that I may have treated her or maybe not paid attention to her like I should have as a loving son. You know, in these areas, you're my father and other relatives that did not know God's truth. God has placed that in front of us. God has opened that truth up to us. In 1 John 5, verse 3, and this is why. For this is the love of God. God loves us. He loves his family. He loves his creation. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. You know, there are questions that I ask myself. And I may pose a few of these to you this afternoon for your consideration. And it's also possibly a future point of discussion amongst us. You know, just open up the conversation, the communication. Because I want us to understand, and I know we do, but I want us to really focus and understand that our actions, each and every one of us in this room, they have an impact on not just ourselves, but on others. And there are many times where you really just don't know how many others you are impacting. And we need to keep that in mind on a daily basis. Again, I'm stressing that daily basis. I want to use an example, since God had it recorded in his word, of a man named Achan. And just by mentioning his name, you're probably thinking, okay, I know where we're going in this process. Achan's example can be used by us to look at ourselves today and see where we are still lacking that total acceptance, that total obedience to our Father in Jesus Christ. Because I've noticed as I'm getting older, the day just seems to fly by quicker. I mean, is it just me? It may be. It may just be me. But in the example of Achan, if you would go, let's go to the book of Joshua in chapter 6. Because they talk about the accursed thing. In Deuteronomy, even Moses kept stressing Israel not to partake of the accursed thing. Meaning, what God has instructed you not to touch or to take to yourselves is considered an accursed thing. Joshua 6, starting verse 16 through 19. This is where Israel has crossed over the Jordan, has entered into the promised land. They're fixing to defeat Jericho. Verse 16, and it came to pass that the seventh time the army going around Jericho, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. But he's also instructing them in verse 17 again, reminding them, and even Israel being reminded constantly to obey the Lord. More than once, a lot. They still complained. They still did not follow God's, you know, the obedience to God. Verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Pretty straightforward. Do not take to yourself any accursed things. Verse 18, and you in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and you also make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. So the army was instructed. But here we have an individual named Achan. Doesn't say how old he was. Let's just take him as an ordinary Joe. He was part of the military. He was part of the army. He heard these instructions. Okay? Just as we, God's people, were called by God. Do we live life perfectly? No. But God has instructed us that when we recognize that we have sinned, go to Him, ask forgiveness. Don't let it linger. Don't let it fester. Don't let it just sit for days on end. Go to God. He's there. For us today, we know God's way is right. God has called us. But we forget how absolutely real God is, and that He's right here with us. This is God's holy convocation. We're appearing here before God, His very throne, on the Sabbath, God's Sabbath day. But our adversary, Satan, will use every arsenal in this spiritual war, every arsenal at his disposal to keep us distracted. And if we don't take God's warning seriously, and we start to think that instant gratification will make us feel good, which we'll see that's what occurred to Achan in this story, and we end up giving in to temptation, we're to fight that temptation. If we give in, Satan wins. If we really and truly believe, really and truly obey God every day as best we can, being utterly convinced that He is always right here with us, because He knows everything, as I've already said. He sees us. He's watching us. We know better, and we should act accordingly with God's help and support through His Spirit. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to ask God for that help, that assistance. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, we see where the children of Israel, and it says the children of Israel, not a child of Israel, meaning specifically Achan, because what Achan did caused the whole nation of Israel, the army camp, to be cursed, basically, by him doing that. As I said earlier, do we see just how far what we do may impact others? Well, what, they had over a 600,000 man army, and that one act impacted 600 and something thousand men in the army. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, can you imagine in our life today to read, for Randy, the son of George, the son of whomever, the son of whomever, you know, put your name there, you know, took the accursed thing, you know. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. See how that impacted by him doing what he did. Hindsight tells, or tends to show us, that if Joshua, okay, it doesn't say that Joshua went to God to inquire when he sent men to Ai to scope it out, the next city they were going to attack. But if it doesn't say that Joshua inquired, it said if Joshua would have inquired of the Lord, don't you think the Lord would have brought it to Joshua's attention? Oh, before you take this next step, here's an accursed thing. Okay, which he does tell him, but it's after the fact. Joshua's attention about the trespass committed by Israel. If that would have occurred, then that would have negated what happens in verse 2 through 12 of chapter 7. What can we place here that we have done without seeking God first in our life over the years, or even possibly today? And then realizing afterwards we went the wrong direction. Yeah. I've got quite a few examples. I'm not sharing all of those. But there are things in my life that I can look back in these type of stories relating to how that has occurred. Now, thankfully, none of my poor decisions cost anyone their life, as this did. But it could very well cost someone their eternal life. And we don't want to be associated with that. We don't want a child of God to stumble, or a potential child of God to stumble. So we have to be very careful. In Joshua chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, when the men came back spying out Ai, I'm just paraphrasing here, they basically said, well, we don't need to send the whole army, just send 2 or 3,000. We can, it's no big deal, we can take it. We can take Ai. So they did, they sent about 3,000 men, in verse 4, to Ai. But then in verse 5, in chapter 7 of Joshua, the men of Ai smote about 36 men. They chased them. So the army turned their backs and ran, which caused the hearts of the people to melt and became as water. Well, when you go farther into chapter 8, verse 25, you'll see after the defeat of Ai, there was about 12,000 people. Well, 2 or 3,000, yeah, if God was with them, would have been adequate, more than enough. Just imagine if they had sent the whole army to Ai when Israel was cursed because of what Achan did. Would that number have been greater? Possibly. The defeat would have been much more horrific, you know, just the mentality and the heart of the people, because when you look at this wording, you tend to think, well, were they so sure in their own minds from the defeat of Jericho that they were undefeatable? Was that Joshua's mentality? Is that possibly why he did not inquire of God before the next step? You know, was Joshua, again, where was Joshua seeking the Lord's instructions to this recommendation? And the people that were sent, which was about 3,000, you tend to think, was there an equal number from each tribe? I mean, just these little thoughts. Was there an equal number of each tribe that was sent? Which would have been about 250 men from each tribe. That would equal 3,000. Another question, doesn't tell us, but just to think about, was Achan part of the group from Judah that went to fight against Ai? It doesn't say. Okay? But what I'm saying here is he would have seen that impact. He would have seen those 36 men die, which would come back to him. He was the one responsible for that. Were the 36 who died, were they equally from each tribe, or were they just from one tribe? Were they from all Judah, which is where Achan was from, or what? It doesn't say, just things to think about. Again, Achan being a regular guy in the army, fighting, but he made a mistake, which cost dearly. In Joshua 7, verses 4 through 5, we must understand that the loss of these 36 men, it doesn't just fall on Achan, it also falls on Joshua, the leader. Could this have been prevented if he would have sought the Lord's directions. Plus the impact it had on all the people because it stated that their hearts melted. They were fearful. It says their hearts melted not because of cowardice, but because the strong hand of the Lord upon which they relied had been removed from them. We don't want God's hand to be removed from us. We need his protection each and every day in our life. Not just for us, but for all of you, our family, God's family, our families. You know, it's ironic that the description which was usually used for the Canaanites in relationship to the melting of the heart has now been used for Israel. So it wasn't just for their enemies, but it was now being applied to them. If you would, turn back to Joshua chapter 2 and verse 11. Because remember when God brought them out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea, and he led them by a pillar of cloud during the day, pillar of fire at night. Well, this was well known throughout the country. Joshua 2, verse 11. We'll go to verse 10 first, then 11. Rahab was talking to the spies, saying, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt." Now, realizing this was 40 years later, because the first group didn't want to go into the Promised Land, so God sent them to wander the wilderness and die off. Well, this is Rahab rehearsing something that occurred 40 years prior. 40 years. But she says, the Red Sea event 40 years ago, but a more current event is what they did also to the kings of the Amorites on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, which they utterly destroyed. So that's more current event in Rahab's time. Verse 11, "As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." That was Rahab speaking. So you see where their hearts melted. So that had occurred for the whole 40 years, and then was just reinforced when they wiped out the Amorites, Sihon and Og. That just reinforced that feeling that the Canaanites had. Joshua 5, verse 1. When we read God's word, are there parts of the recorded scriptures here that we can look back to really strengthen our belief, our thoughts, how we think about life, even in the future of what's potentially coming ahead of us? You know, God will protect us. God will watch out for his people. God has protected his people in the past. He's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. If we're close to God, we should not be fearing anything. And these stories are here for our admonition. Joshua 5, verse 1. Now this is when Israel was crossing into the Promised Land, the Jordan. "And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until they all passed over." What happened? Their hearts melted. "Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So it was that type of feeling that Israel was going through now that they had been defeated by Ai. Now, as the story progresses, again, pondering this moment in our own lives, could we think of something or some things that may even today still be weighing heavily on our shoulders? And I'm sure we've asked God for forgiveness, and He's forgiven us, but our mentality is we tend to dredge these thoughts and these memories up, and it bothers us. And we still ponder and worry, and when God basically says, I've already forgiven that, stop bringing that up. Well, Satan's over here going, oh yeah, you need to keep thinking about that. You're a pretty rotten scoundrel. You need to, you know, God really hasn't forgiven you. Well, yes, God has, because there's that battle still going on. So what do we think about? Because it causes us undue heartache, things that we wish we could have taken back. You know, as they say, a do-over. Do we have thoughts like that today? Oh, I wish I could do that over, or I wish I could do this differently. All these words, if you just ponder and consider, ordinary people, their daily life, their impacts, our daily life, our impacts. And we're on the same track, although we're being called now. Others were not called, but they will be called in the future. We're learning to be teachers and preaching God's word in the future. And even the leader, Joshua, in chapter 7, verses 6 through 10, again, just paraphrasing, Joshua was just beside himself. He just was talking to God, saying, oh, what are we going to do? Our enemies are going to come and destroy us. And he knew he was responsible, because in verse 8 he says, oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? Verse 9, talking about how all the inhabitants of the land will hear of that event, surround them, and cut off their name from the earth. Didn't Moses tell Joshua to be strong and of good courage? Didn't the Lord tell Joshua, be strong and of good courage? Well, what has happened to Joshua is be strong and of good courage. He's been weakened. His heart has melted. In verse 10, what does the Lord say to him? He said, get up. Why do you lie on your face? Get up. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. And this is why. I keep coming back to our personal examples in our lives. We need to be thinking about these areas of God's word and applying it to us today. You know, have we been critical? Have we been anxious? Have we been worried or neglectful? Especially when COVID-19 was bouncing around and all the lockdowns and all the government issues of warnings and orders, and again, wanting us to obey their specific order by the letter. And some countries just literally locking down their borders. Or have we been able to stay positive and joyful and thankful because of knowing God's truth and God's word? Because there are well over, 30-something thousand sermons on UCG.org. Of course, some of them are duplicates and some may show something there, but it's not recorded. But a lot of information of God's word there that we can go to and stay close to God by. In John chapter 15, John 15, verses 10 through 14. Here we see Christ speaking again. If you obey my commandments, you shall live in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You know, we know we're physical. We know we're beset by weakness of the flesh. And of course, our adversary's negative influences that he's projecting through the airwaves. Absolute faith lies just out of our reach on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. Humanly, there is always going to be some doubt, and that's why we must have a change of heart and mind through with God's Holy Spirit leading and directing us, which is itself a gift of God by grace through faith. Through giving us the Holy Spirit, God the Father and Jesus Christ enables us to share in their sure perspective when it comes to how we should live. The Holy Spirit empowers in obedience and increases faith to obey even more, always looking to God. Well, we know as we approach the end of the story that, again, how Achan impacted the nation. God instructed Joshua, just continuing through the storyline, to tell the people to prepare themselves for the next day. Verses 11 through 15 of Joshua 7. Again, just paraphrasing. God told Joshua what had happened. They had taken of the accursed thing. That's talking about how they attacked Ai. That was after God instructed Joshua what had occurred. Let me back up a little bit. Again, I'm in the wrong chapter. So you're right, Garrett. It's not the first and last time there.
Still got more time.
Yes. Hopefully that's the last time. Joshua 7, verse 11 through 15. Here's where God instructed Joshua that Israel had sinned and they transgressed the covenant which he had commanded. That someone had stolen. He didn't tell Joshua who. He just said someone. But look what Israel had to go through. All 12 tribes. He told the children of Israel to prepare to sanctify themselves, for God is going to show who took the accursed thing, because there's an accursed thing in the midst of Israel. And that's why you couldn't stand before your enemies. So instead of just this one individual fessing up, oh, that would be me. No, he had to call again every tribe. Now, it doesn't say which tribe he started with, but eventually it came down to the tribe of Judah and the different families within those tribes, so there's no telling how much time this process took. But it shows that God never leaves us. He didn't leave Israel back then. He's not leaving us today. If anyone's doing any leaving, it's ourselves. We're the ones who are pushing against God and who can turn our backs on Him. But we never want to do that. We should always go to God first and foremost, to set our mind always to strive to obey God. Obedience to God begins by accepting the and knowing and living the Ten Commandments as a permanent standard and foundation for our values and behavior. But our obedience must encompass the full spirit of the Ten Commandments. Achan did confess his transgression once it came down to knowing who had done this and his disobedience. Again, if he had just confessed, I mean, his penalty would have been the same, but at least it would have saved a lot of time and effort. Or was he thinking that he might be able to escape? He wouldn't be found out. Again, not realizing that God knows everything. But he put Israel through all that. That's why we should always go to God immediately when we have sinned or when we have recognized that we've sinned. And again, not to let it fester. I'm sure you've heard the old saying about a rotten apple. And if you don't remove it, it's going to cause the others to be rotten. Okay. Some of the other questions when you stop and think, where they were camped at, and the armies moved to Jericho to fight against Jericho, and then they're moving to fight against Ai, there was a few miles distance there. So the items that Achan confessed to taking of the accursed thing makes you wonder, of those items that he listed, were there anyone else in that army near him when he was doing this that actually saw him doing what he did? Question mark. Were there? And just didn't say anything. Okay. And since camp was a few miles away, that stuff had weight to it. You know, the silver, the gold, the garment. He would have had to have concealed it. And all that extra weight to go a few miles. How was he able to conceal it and carry it back to his tent without being noticed? Well, did the whole army go back? Or did he leave early or late? Or we don't know. It doesn't say. But he went through the process of trying to hide all this because he knew he did wrong. Or he would have just openly carted it off. You know, he'd have done right. But he knew that he did wrong. Because they were camped in Gilgal, which again is just a few miles from Jericho. And it was buried in his tent. So that either means the family did not know about it, or they knew and they went along with it. So coming to the end of the story of Achan, which is Joshua 7, verses 24 through 26. Again, paraphrasing. When sentence was passed on Achan after his confession, because he was to be not just him, but his family and all that he owned, was to what? To be stoned, to be burned, basically killed. What do we have facing us if we turn from God, if we reject God? It's not stoning. What is it? Eternal death, the lake of fire. You know, we know that. Achan knew not to partake of the accursed thing, but he did it, and he was punished. God's not trying to scare us. God's telling us facts about prophecy, about our life, about our calling, about the future, part of our future. You know, it's not told yet what will occur after when God comes down with New Jerusalem, but it's got to be something fantastic. You know, God doesn't do anything halfway. It's all great. It's all good. But what was Achan thinking before he and all of his family and all his belongings were stoned and burned? Do you think that would have changed his mind, knowing the end, before he did what he did? We don't know. He might have tried to hide it a different way. Instead of putting it in the camp, he might have hidden it somewhere else. Who knows? I don't know. But we see how his sin impacted not only the whole nation of Israel, but his family, tribe of Judah, because they had to bear that. One of their own had caused this. And also his own family, because it said his sons and his daughters. Again, it didn't say how old Achan was, but he was old enough to know better. And it impacted his family. If only he had obeyed the instructions, the command. Scripture tells us that the Father gives commands that Christ perfectly and lovingly obeys. Obeyed and continues to obey. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, we'll start bringing this to a close. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And in that verse, and the head of Christ is God. So our head is Christ. We are to be following him. He's our perfect example. In the head of Jesus, of Christ is God the Father. You can make reference to John 14, verse 28, where Christ said, "My Father is greater than I," always giving glory to the Father. So again, is it relevant for us today to obey? You answer that question. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 in conclusion. Romans 6, starting verse 16. Because again, it's not just a matter of obeying, but who you obey. Romans 6, verse 16, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Yes, we were servants of sin, but God called us out of that life to be a part of his family, of his life. Verse 18, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Through God's grace, the gift of eternal life is given to those who demonstrate their faith in God by their obedience. You know, we've just seen one example today, that example being Achan, but how, by not obeying the commands that were given to him, impacted a lot of people. And it still impacts us today, this very day, for us to draw off of his example. And those that were around him, Joshua's example of where we need to go to God daily, seeking his advice in our life, seeking his protection, especially when you drive 2 hours from my house here You need that protection. You know, God, please protect in the traffic. And he does. He answers prayers. He's a very loving father. So again, it was nice to be here. Hopefully it won't be another year or so before I'm back, but we'll let Mr. Veller determine that. Unless Sherry speaks up again and says, hey! But enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.